Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your pods.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Grant and Danny Show is brought to you by the law firm Condori and Murad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Danny, we're hanging with K&M in Kansas City this weekend. They are taking the show on the road. We will be at Arrowhead Stadium.
A couple days away from flying out there, my friend. We're going to eat a little barbecue, I'd imagine, and go watch the Kansas City Chiefs offense and defense hopefully not succeed too much against Washington.
I think that's the expectation.
My voice is going up.
It's kind of the hope. Let's go to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, and talk to Dan Lust, the sports and entertainment attorney who is heard all over the place and who we've had on the show many times to talk about sports law. Does a great job with us on Grant and Danny. Dan, it is good to talk to you again. How you been?
I'm good, guys. Let's just say my phone was blowing up this morning, and a very exciting 30-minute press conference, but happy to break it down with you guys.
Wild what's happening. So the FBI had a press conference. Some of the specifics, current former NBA players, coaches, Chauncey Billups, and as well as Terry Rozier and Damon Jones have been arrested in a legal gambling and sports rigging operation that spanned 11 states. 30 individuals got arrested, 13 mafia members as well. All right, so let's just start with painting with a broad brush, like your assessment on what was going on here and just the size of this investigation.
Okay, so let's start at a 50,000-foot level, and I'll state the obvious. There are two very different acts at the heart of this press release, right? We have inside betting info for basketball purposes, which I tend to think is a rather simple scheme, so to speak, right? It's just the passing of inside information. And then separately, right, on your other hand, we have a pretty complex poker betting scheme. I think the two are very different. You can, I guess, use your imagination as to why the two were combined for purposes of one press release, one large announcement. But I view the two as being very separate and distinct acts. But that was my biggest takeaway. Why are we talking about these two things in the same sentence? But yeah, I guess to the extent they're both gambling, I get it. But yeah, two very different acts at the heart of this.
And Dan, this is my big question. Like the headline that I read, or the first news alert is Terry Rozier and Chauncey Billups arrested in this operation. And I'm going, oh, okay, so there's a link between them. And the link is, it's kind of gambling related, question mark. What's the tie in, and how is this all getting wrapped up into one thing?
Well, it's a good question. I was watching the press conference for this for someone to ask it, and I think they got pretty close. The question is why they are linked. And seemingly they're linked because the arrests happen all on the same day. And so they, you know, it's not to make light of it, but they're kind of making it like a 2-for-1 special. Like, hey, you know, they're both kind of gambling. One is sports betting related. One's poker. Let's just, you know, they're both kind of basketball related. Let's just do a sweeping arrest on the same day, and let's do the press conference the same day. Instead of, which I think would logically be the case, do two different press conferences, two different releases, because, yeah, other than being gambling related and other than involving basketball players, there seems to be two very different schemes. One, I think, is rather simple, right, the providing of inside information. And the other one, the poker side, I found to be very fascinating with alleged X-ray tables and automatic shufflers and face-ups and fish and sharks and seemingly a very elaborate process involving everyone at the table, the dealers, that seemed to be a very different character in nature. But, you know, to answer your question, why would you loop them together? Because I think everybody knows who Chauncey Billups is. He's a Hall of Famer. I think far less people know, as we're all sports fans, we know who Terry Rozier is. But the public knows who Chauncey Billups is. And grouping him together, I think, is certainly harmful to Billups, but does put a lot more attention on both cases.
All right, so let's talk about the poker games. This, like, Molly's Game level 11-state operation or whatever this was. But this includes, apparently, according to reports, X-ray machines built into tables to read face-down cards, contact lenses, glasses that read pre-marked cards, and rigged poker games. How is Chauncey Billups involved in this, allegedly? What was going on, exactly?
Okay, so another, you guys are asking all the right questions. I read all the same news reports, and then, you know, I wanted to watch the press conference, and then I ended up reading some of the news reports out there, and then the DOJ's press release. It seems from early indications that Billups wasn't the mastermind of the operation, but at least as the reports are coming out, apparently there would be a couple of targets, so that there would be a number of people at the table that were in on the scheme, and they would identify a target who had a large bank account, right? In the poker community, right, we'd call them a fish, someone that has a lot of money. They want to go to the table, but in addition to just playing in this game, they were allured by the prospect that, hey, famous people will be playing, Chauncey Billups being one of them. And we don't know to the extent that Billups was involved, right? Sometimes people are paid to show up at appearances. We don't know what Billups' defenses are, but it seems like from the charging instruments that Billups was a celebrity that was brought in to lure people to the table. It doesn't seem like he was the mastermind, but then again, he's charged here with money laundering and, you know, alleged wire fraud. So the charges don't really make a distinction. They will, I'm sure, at some point. But that seems to be Billups' involvement. He just was someone that was brought to the game. But we don't know. Is it possible he was wearing X-ray glasses, too, and he was more involved than just being a face-up guy? Certainly possible. But that's at least my read of the charging documents, that he's not the centerpiece of the poker operation.
How did it start? That's the thing I always wonder, Dan, is like, because there's a before. And then there's a time where somebody at some point approaches him, or he approaches someone. Like, that's the part that I always kind of feel like gets glossed over in any kind of story. How did this begin?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, like, again, just kind of reading through the tea leaves, and the FBI and the EDNY, where I'm from in New York, the Eastern District, they're not giving us all the details. A lot of good questions that were being asked along those lines. And they said, we're not putting this out right now. We're not telling you what the defenses are. All I'll say, right, in our country, everyone's innocent until proven guilty. And I imagine, right, for someone like Billups, and we can loop Rozier in as well, sometimes they're not aware of the full scheme. And that's sometimes a defense. And we saw this a little bit with the Diddy trial not that long ago. In order to get these large charges of conspiracy, you need to show that people had some level of awareness of what was happening. And yeah, certainly a lot of people could have been involved. In theory, it would make sense. But this is why in our country, innocent until proven guilty. Billups might come out and say, yeah, I was at a poker game on a certain day. I have no idea what was happening. I'm sure, right? You know, underground poker schemes have been happening for years and years and years. I was impressed and really kind of surprised at the level of technology that was involved. That seems to be a rather new development, right? Marked cards with X-ray vision, with buzzers. I don't know. That seems pretty alarming. But yeah, in this day, I imagine that type of tech is not going back 50 years. That's got to be a rather new technology development.
Dan Lust, sports law analyst, joining us on Grant and Danny. So this is going to sound like a dumb question, and feel free to kind of blow it out of the water. But, and you kind of just alluded to this. I mean, how common are things like this? And is this a bigger deal because, like, Billups' involvement? Like, if this came out today and they listed all of the Italian families and the mob and all this stuff, I would say, whoa, that's crazy. In the same way that I did about, like, the jewelry heist at the Louvre or whatever a few days ago, where I kind of read the headline. I was like, wow, that's wild. That's from a bygone era. And I kept it moving. Or like, do you think this is unique and special and different because of the scope, money or otherwise, and tens of millions of dollars is involved?
Yeah, and you guys referenced it. Like, Molly's Room, the game, is it Molly's Room or Molly's Game?
Molly's Game.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's been going, that's a movie that was 10 years ago. It was based on a book from years prior to that. Like, there is certainly some level of underground illicit poker games that have occurred for years and years and years, decades back, celebrities playing in those games. And again, I didn't mention it, the 50,000 foot, you know, answer that I gave you beforehand. I know we see reports of it. You could, you know, Tobey Maguire, whoever was featured in that movie. Like, there are celebrities that play in these really high level games. And I somewhat find it interesting that Chauncey Billups is the highest level name that's referenced. And I certainly, again, certainly my own opinion, but I think games like these, high-level games that maybe aren't legal because the House is taking a cut, are far more pervasive than the public knows about. But this game and these allegations concerning this level of technology, I view that to be rare. I do. And I think, you know, you can use your imagination as the amount of high-level players that are in some of these underground games, and celebrities, no less. And if the highest person they get is Billups, that tells you that this game was a different character in nature. And rest assured, right, people have motivations for looping in Billups and Rozier. Again, I don't view these two acts as being that similar. But if there was a bigger name than Billups, if this was more pervasive than we thought, Billups certainly wouldn't be the biggest name. You'd have entertainers and actors and whoever else. So to the question, I do think this seems to be a rather unique offense. I'm not quite sure of the tie-in across all of those different. They said it went from Los Angeles to New York. There's a lot of different cities involved. But this technology element, I think, is what brings it to a different level.
Dan Lust with us here on Grant and Danny, breaking down the FBI charges against Chauncey Billups, Terry Rozier, and others. In terms of kind of how long running this was going, what sort of triggered the investigation? What do we know about that? Like how anybody was tipped off to it?
Yeah, they're being a little bit coy with those details, and I'll just say, I mean, I'm sure we're going to find out more in certain days, but at least on the sports betting side, this is the obvious one. There seems to be these irregular betting patterns that pop up, and people I know have been watching Twitter today, all these memes of Rozier missing shots and doing turnovers and whatever else. Maybe those aren't that suspicious in a vacuum, but there are sites that are designed to basically track historical betting on a particular day, we'll say on a weekday Charlotte Hornets game. They have some sense of what the band would be for bets, right? And I don't know what the numbers are, but they have some sense of that, and they have some sense as to when the timing of certain bets would be placed. Now, if there is a spike, and let's say, you know, 50 bettors across the country each place, and again, outside of their normal range of bets, let's say someone is a typical bettor of, I don't know, $100 a game, and 50 people across the country each bet way outside of their normal band of bets, that is viewed as suspicious betting activity. If it happens once, maybe that's interesting. If it happens enough, that's what flagged. So that's seemingly how it was discovered on the Rozier side. I think they're being, you know, for something like the poker scheme, it's less a technological discovery, and sometimes it's somebody reporting something and being the quote-unquote informant. I don't think we yet have that information of how the poker scheme was found out, but we would not, rest assured, we wouldn't know of the x-ray tables and this and that unless someone from the inside, right, found out or at least relayed that information. Certainly the fish were, or the targets wouldn't have that information. It wouldn't come from a victim, but seemingly would come from someone on the inside. So that's generally historically how these things come out. FBI finds out some information and they get someone on the inside to flip in exchange for some level of immunity. But we just don't have that information yet.
The Chauncey Billups side of this, the poker version of the story today, to me, that's salacious and incredible, and it's straight out of a movie, so it's fascinating. But from a league standpoint, obviously the other one is a bigger deal, right? Which is the possibility of players throwing performances or their games or what have you. And that leads, as we've previously seen, to guys being run out of the sport, suspended, banned, what have you. So as we transition to that, I guess here's where I want to start the conversation. Whenever anything like this happens, a lot of people kind of take a victory lap and go, see, legalizing betting's been a disaster. And I'm actually on the other side where I go, well, there's more regulation and we're catching these guys. Stuff like this could have been happening for the last 50 years. And because it's not regulated the same way, because we weren't diving into it to the same extent and taking the same safeguards as a sport, maybe we would have never known. Am I onto something or am I overstating it?
You are, and I'll go one further. There is something troublesome for the NBA, right? And I know a lot of time has been spent talking about Kawhi and all the stuff going on with that deal, but I view this as being much more important. And Grant and Danny, if you guys don't know, and maybe your listeners don't know, I teach a sports law class. So I do this every semester. I talk about the Ohtani case. I talk about all these different times in NFL or NBA or Major League Baseball history where it seemed obvious that something happened, but all of a sudden, like, you know, we could go back to Brian Flores and that whole situation. It seemed obvious that something wrong happened, but the league decided to sweep it under the rug, and there was no criminal indictment attached to it. So it was really just the league saying, trust us. We did our own investigation. We hired these fans. Lawyers, and we found no evidence of anything. So let's go back to January of 25. So early this year, when the Rozier stuff comes out, We knew all the same stuff. We knew that the game that they were looking at, we knew of the suspicious betting activity, and the NBA said, trust us, we're going to look at it. We know that the feds are looking at it, but don't worry, we're going to look at it. And the NBA comes back, and they clear Rozier. They clear him. He was obviously eligible to play last night. He was on the bench for Miami, but they cleared him. So I think the NBA looks very bad within that scope. They looked at the incident. They had seemingly the same evidence that the feds were looking at, you'd think, right? Some level of understanding of what happened. And they cleared Rozier. So the NBA, and rest assured, the next time Silver gets in front of a microphone, someone smart's going to ask him this question. How is it that you cleared him, but the feds viewed it enough to have him as the centerpiece of this indictment? What did you see that they didn't see? And it's going to be a very tough question for Silver to ask. And it's the same question that I ask my students, right? We had a lot that was pointing that Shohei Ohtani had some involvement with this betting scandal. And you can use any type of example. But the Major League Baseball cleared him, and Ohtani wasn't wrapped up in a federal indictment. So, you know, there wasn't really anything else to look at. It was just trust Major League Baseball. And that's the type of question that's unique to this case. Silver cleared him, but the FBI and you know, federal prosecutors did not. So that's a really tough sell if you're Silver. I don't really know how he gets around that.
So, Dan, for the Rozier part of it, I mean, there's a couple salacious things sort of tangentially related to it. And here's what I mean. There's a description of one of the quote-unquote prominent players, and that matches LeBron James, if you're sort of doing a quick scan, and not that LeBron's involved at all, but it was a, hey, he's not playing tonight, a better, you know, has a huge bet against it and or against the Lakers, and that team loses, et cetera. But there's also a couple of the other guys that were, I guess, again, all alleged, whatever I have to say, linked to Rozier and Jones that have also been accused of doing a lot of illegal gambling with college games as well. So is this now kind of part of a larger net here?
Yeah, and to the point we said earlier, it's technology, right? Like, I'm sure you guys have spoke about it, but Rozier essentially sat out a game, and then, you know, we can always see, like, if a team is not playing well and they want to rest one of their star players, will it help their draft position? Yes. The question is whether inside information was provided ahead of time, and you can track that by the suspicious betting patterns. If it's one suspicious bet, I don't think it gets flagged. Again, numerous bets will be flagged. So that's the question. Could this be the first domino to fall? You know, it's certainly possible. I would think that the FBI didn't need to announce this today, on the day after the NBA tipped off their season. I think if you were really on pursuit of someone like a LeBron or someone huge, you would have waited. If you felt that you had a good cause to get someone like LeBron, right, who could be the top level of this type of investigation, you wait. You don't need to make Billups the main guy. That doesn't make sense. So I think in a larger scope, you're probably right, that they're not done looking into people. Feds have been on this for at least a year. I think if they had enough juice and another huge, massive fish on top of all this, they would have waited for the appropriate time or otherwise ruled that person out. So I certainly think it's not going to be the end of sports betting investigations, but it seems like this is the complete picture with respect to these two particular incidents.
Dan Lust on Grant and Danny. Before we let you go, one more, a little bit off the beaten path, but semi-related here. You mentioned being a professor at the college level. Well, collegiately, in a week, college athletes are now going to be allowed to bet on pro sports. And I just find the timing of this story that I saw for the first time within the last 48 hours interesting. So I know that in other sports, like if you play for the Commanders, you can bet on everything outside of football, essentially, as long as you're not at the facility. Does this mean, Dan, that college athletes previously weren't allowed to bet on anything at all, and now they're going to be able to bet on anything but college sports? And just what's your take? What have we found about kind of allowing you to do some, but not the thing that you play?
Yeah. So first of all, I think the timing is just so bad. I mean, we knew about this. I think it was a week or two ago we heard about it, and that the effective date would be November 1st. But the timing is heinous. It's awful. And let's just say different sports have different prohibitions, right? Baseball's rules are different than football's concerning like on facility bets. They're all slightly different. The logic behind at least the NFL's bets and the NFL's policy is that you're likely to get inside information if you're at a particular facility. I don't necessarily agree with that. For example, when Jameson Williams got suspended once upon a time when he was the Lions, I think he was betting on some other sport. He just happened to be at the facility. So I don't necessarily agree with the premise that you're likely to have inside info if you're at the facility versus in your car. I don't really think that makes sense.
Well, you know, Dan, then, as soon as you leave the facility and get in your car, you forget all of
there's
the,
no info in the car.
Knowledge that you have.
Yeah, that's pretty obvious.
Zero. None. And I mean, the same could be true for college kids. Like, what access do college kids have to inside information at the professional level? Yeah, certainly someone could be someone else's cousin. I get that. But that's so tenuous. Maybe that person should be, you know, reviewed for suspicious betting patterns concerning their family members or close ties.
I wonder if guys haven't, you know, you could have an agent that has players in the league that says, oh, this guy's not playing on Sunday.
Former teammates who are now in the pros.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, in my practice, I represent agents, and some agents represent pros, and they represent college kids, right? And you could be outside of the facility on your phone and have the same level of access to inside information. So I think it's a slippery slope. I don't know what prompted colleges to pass that rule. You know, I don't know what has changed between point A and point B to prompt that. And certainly, right, today's October 23rd. It's very possible that they re-examine that decision in light of what just happened. And NCAA has taken this big role about protecting college kids. Who knows, right? I don't think it's out of the bag. Until it passes on November 1st, I would view that very closely. It wouldn't shock me if they pushed it back, at least to some extent. November 1st is just an arbitrary date they picked.
Dan, terrific as always, man. Great insight. Appreciate you.
My pleasure, guys. Anytime.
Yeah, you're the best. That was fantastic. Dan Lust with us on Grant and Danny at Sports Law Lust if you want to follow him on social media. Next, the Commanders are getting ready to load up and go to KC this weekend with Marcus Mariota at quarterback. How do we think QB2 is going to play? You're listening to The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
At 3:45, our double play, what's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. And coming up in a half hour at 4 o'clock, we're giving away tickets to see the Caps exclusively right here on Grant and Danny all week long. Somebody will win a pair of Caps tickets. That's in 30 minutes. You can watch us on 106.7 The Fan's YouTube page. You can, of course, listen wherever you are on the free and available Odyssey app. We're all over the DMV on 106.7. We're live in Richmond, AM 910, FM 105.1. There's a lot of ways to check this show out.
The point is, just consume it. However you want to do it, that's fine. You do you, but have that include us.
Marcus Mariota will be starting for the Commanders at Arrowhead Stadium against the Chiefs this weekend. I think that Marcus Mariota's off-the-bench performance against the Cowboys was the worst that we have seen him in Burgundy and Gold. He has not looked that bad at any point. He came in, he threw the quick pick six trying to do too much. He ends up completing 4 of 10 passes and throwing an interception. That was the pick six. But he also took multiple sacks in the game. And look, it's an easy declaration because he played twice last year. He was awesome in both games. He played twice this year. He was great and then pretty solid. And this was his first clunker, dud, whatever. And it was off the bench in a lost game where you're chasing, and it stands to reason those can go sideways, and it did. But I still have decent confidence in him playing well generally. He has the majority of the time when we've seen him.
This is one situation where he has come in a bad game, meaning you're way behind. It's desperation time. Everything's, you know, you're slipping down the mountain. You're just trying to grab a handhold. And he wasn't any good in that game. Every other time he's either started or come in relief has been, they're already beating Carolina. They were killing Cleveland when he played last year for like a couple of snaps towards the end of the game. They were dominant, or they were, you know, they were sort of even nip and tuck with Dallas. He brought him back at the end of the season in that game. And then earlier this year when he came into games that he was starting. This was the only time where he came into a bad situation and he too played poorly. I expect him to do what he normally does, which is be fine. He's going to be fine. Yeah. I have no worry or concern about him looking like he did against Dallas.
So fine is okay. Is he going to be what he's been the majority of the time, which is good, to give you a chance to win? That's what he's got to be. And that gets harder. On the road, I would say this is a top five toughest place to play football. And talking to Logan on Take Command this week about some of his recollections from his stadium noise stuff, he said Arrowhead Stadium is the only place he could ever remember that they had to go to a silent count in a preseason game. Think about that. He said it's just different. It's just louder. And I think it's not just the fans, which they're ravenous, obviously. But I do think it has a lot to do with like how the stadium's designed. It's old school. But it's a tough place to go play. Can he play well enough to keep you in the game? That's the question. Fine is a low bar. I think he's going to be what he was against the Raiders and the Falcons. I think he's going to play at a starter level, essentially. Maybe that's the better question. Does he look like a starter, or does he look like a backup getting thrust into duty? Remember, Terry McLaurin is practicing as we speak right now. Deebo Samuel is practicing as we speak right now. Days out from the game. They are both going to play. That's a huge deal.
That's the key to me. So if it was one of the two, and it's a limited version of Deebo with his heel banged up, or it's just getting his sea legs underneath him, Terry McLaurin, I'm sure, McLaurin. You don't know about Terry McLaurin. That guy is great. They should draft him.
McLaurin is having a huge 2025.
They're having a massive
year. He was at every practice, and he's on his way to 1,700 yards.
He didn't hold in and sign a team-friendly deal. Get those guys back, and they're themselves, big boost for Mariota. Huge, right? That just stands to reason. You flip one 7 yards to Deebo Samuel, he turns it into 25. You can throw deep to Terry McLaurin. He could do something special. You know, if it's just the same compliment that they went to Dallas with, I would expect him to look like a backup that's been thrust into duty. It doesn't mean every throw was bad. It doesn't mean everything looks terrible. It just means it's a lower ceiling. You grab a couple pieces that scare defenses. Absolutely. I expect him to kind of look like that back-end starter, which I think he is.
The big question, I think, on offense is going to be, first, the running game. Can they run the ball more effectively than they did against Dallas? And if you have McLaurin back, who could win in man? If you have Deebo Samuel back, who can win in man? That's why you pay those guys close to, you know what, $50 million combined per year. You do that because those guys, unlike McCaffrey and Jalen Lane, who haven't proven it, or unlike Chris Moore and Robbie Anderson, who bounce around team to team, they'll beat man coverage. So if you've got to play a little more zone, which the Chiefs have played a lot of zone, I think they're top six in the NFL in kind of having extra bodies on the back end, playing zone, not playing man. Do they go against type like Dallas did? They're a heavy zone team that ran man because they didn't trust your receivers. I don't think the Chiefs get to do that this week with the Cowboys.
Or like the Cowboys did. That's what you mean? Yeah.
I don't think the Chiefs get to do what the Cowboys did.
Right.
Because those two receivers are back. So if that's the case, you should get lighter boxes. You should be able to run the football again. They're still the number one rushing offense in the NFL.
Even with the last couple weeks.
After the putrid performance that was last week. They're number one in the NFL in yards per run.
So I don't know that you're all the way back. Because, again, I don't know what I'm getting from those two receivers. I don't know if they're good enough to play or themselves. That's going to be the variable. We'll find out on Monday, obviously, you know, how everybody looks. But to me, you don't go from, you don't even make the trip, you don't look good, to, oh yeah, with just a few more days, you're now fully armed and operational, as if you had a full offseason in McLaurin's case, or, you know, Debo's case, maybe the heel feels good enough, or you can, you know, inject yourself with whatever you have to be good to go. But if they're themselves, then yeah, you have to respect that if you're the opponent.
That's so true. I mean, playing is the story that we all care about. But it's not what matters, if we're being honest. Playing's cool. Playing at a high level is what matters. Terry McLaurin being Terry, you know, Deebo Samuel being able to go get you 6-7 grabs, 90 to 100 yards, being the focal point of the offense like he was throughout September up until Monday Night Football in mid-October. That's really what you're looking for. Because if Deebo's just out there getting cardio like he was against the Bears, doesn't really do much for me. And if Terry's back, but he is completely, out, you know, I don't want to say out of football shape, but like, getting back in the flow because he's on a pitch count or, you know, just working his way back because he's not in rhythm, then the difference, the gap between him and Jalen Lane is not as big as I want it to be to really make an impact. Marcus Mariota, literally, as we're speaking, just met with the media a few minutes ago, and he talked about going to Kansas City as a guy that spent so much time in the AFC with the Titans and the Raiders within the division. You know, he knows a lot about that venue.
I love playing there. It's such a fun atmosphere. The fans are great. It's loud. And I truly enjoy it. And at the end of the day, like, it's going to come down to us being able to communicate. It is a tough environment. But at the same time, like, that's what you play for. You love these moments. You love these atmospheres. And I'm really looking forward to it.
How about his comments, Darius, on how the team's going to respond in their biggest back-against-the-wall spot of the Quinn era now?
With energy, with enthusiasm. We have, like I said after the game, we have the right guys in the locker room and truly believe in what we're building here. And it's the NFL. You're going to kind of go through these valleys. And at the end of the day, we have the guys in there to climb out of it. And I'm fortunate to be a part of it.
He's such a likable dude.
Yes, he is.
I remember sitting, I'm in the press conference room after his start against the Raiders. So he got the nod, ends up playing his butt off. They get a win. It's his former team where he, you know, didn't get on the field as a starter, and then they let him walk. And he walked in, and it was a really big day for him, you could tell. Just his post-game interview on Fox, he was emotional. And he came in there, and he was just talking about his teammates and how they made me feel confident because they told me all week long, we're rocking with you. We know you can do this. And he made it about everybody else the whole time. I was like, this is such a good dude. What a signing he's been, too. The development, the help of Jaden Daniels that he provided last year, and then when he's played, all but really the relief appearance against Dallas, has not just been okay, it's been exceptional. This has been a godsend for them. And now all of a sudden he's becoming even more important because he's playing almost as much as your starting quarterback over the last month.
Indeed, yeah. And your offense runs relatively similarly, right? It's not something that I would do in general, by the way. I would always try to have a different style quarterback to make defenses, and I'd keep the mystery alive and make defenses have to prepare for this guy's a dropback guy. This guy runs a ton. Good luck getting ready for both, right? But I understand the simplicity and continuity that comes from somebody. I mean, listen, Mariota runs the zone read better than Jaden Daniels. That's not an insult to Daniels. Mariota's maybe the best at it. He's awesome,
so
at it.
All the way back to Oregon, too.
Yeah.
It's what he did 15 years ago or whatever that was.
And again, that's not a slight. That's a fader that's actually going to be turned up. I'm hoping that gets used a ton, maybe to open up some success for the running game out of this pistol, shotgun, et cetera. There are, of course, a million other things that Jaden Daniels does better, but that's not the point. So to me, you know, after his Atlanta fiasco, and that's what it was, that ending, whoever you want to blame for it, it was a bad look at a minimum. At a maximum, it was petulant and whiny and spoiled and not something he should have done. Maybe he would admit the same thing. I don't know. But he has, you know, earned every ounce of his rep here. I mean, he's been nothing but a great citizen. He's been awesome for Jaden Daniels. Great in that quarterback room. He tested the market to see if anybody wanted him to be a starter. The answer was no. Came right back here, filling in and doing an admirable job.
Commanders Chiefs Monday Night Football. We're going to be talking about that game throughout the day tomorrow out in Fairfax, where we're at Craft House. So if you want to come out and hang with us at Fairfax Craft House, we're going to be there from 2 to 6:30 for our field trip Friday, and we're getting ready for all of the NFL games all day long, college games as well. So field trip Friday tomorrow, that place is really, really good. They got great food, they got great drinks, good selection. And we've always had a ton of listeners come out, so tomorrow should be a lot of fun.
I love that place. Such a good vibe. It's got great outdoor seating, too. Good menu, nice, full, good lighting, good bar. Everything about it's fun.
By the way, I get that you'd rather have Jaden Daniels to have your best chance to win because he's your best quarterback. But you know, now I'm in a spot where I'm just trying to search for things. Like, what is nobody seeing here? Maybe the Chiefs look past you because you don't have your QB and you look bad on paper. or maybe that everybody buckles down a little bit more because you know you got to be on your P's and Q's because Daniels isn't around. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're in and I'm out for a day or something, you're probably preparing a little bit differently, like I am when you're out, because it's just me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, maybe you're more relaxed.
I don't even know. I guess. I don't even think relaxed would be the way I'd put it. But, like, think about it. If you know the guy that you normally wait on to make the play to get you a win is not going to be there to do that, then someone else has to make the play. And so there's a little bit more on everybody else's plate. You don't want Marcus Mariota to have to do it. I don't know. I'm searching, clearly.
Yeah, it's like we're supposed to lose anyway, so bleep it. Right?
I got nothing. I'm trying my best here, Danny. 12-point underdog. It could get ugly, but it's the National Football League, and you never really know. All right, our double play is next. So I've got some audio I'm going to play for you about what Logan Paulson generally does to eat dinner on the road when he travels for Commanders games.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this.
One of the craziest things I've ever heard. So I pulled the audio, and I'm going to play it for you as soon as we return. Next on G&D, in 20 minutes, we're giving away Caps tickets to a lucky listener.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your pods.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Your chance to win Caps tickets in 15 minutes. We'll talk college football with Danny Cannell coming up at 5 o'clock. And Joe Maloney of the American Gaming Association at 6. Want to discuss the news of the day out of the NBA, which is absolutely fascinating. But it is time for our double play on Grant and Danny. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers, now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealer today. So, Danny, you're familiar with a podcast that I do called Take Command with Logan Paulson.
Yes, of course.
It is a Commanders podcast. We do 3 episodes a week. We look back at the game, X's and O's film breakdown with Logan. We look ahead to the upcoming game, and then I do one generally right after the game with him or another former player like Kedrick Golston discussing the game that just happened. So if you are into the Commanders, Take Command wherever you get your audio. But today, there's very little non-football that we end up getting into ever. But we stumbled into something today, just like coming out of one of our stop sets, where I said to Logan, I'm like, I can't wait to get to Kansas City to eat barbecue. And we stumbled into how Logan has been eating dinners on the road. And I want to play a game with you. Like, is this one of the wildest things you've ever heard, or am I overreacting?
Okay.
So this is from Take Command with myself and Logan Paulson.
I can't wait to get to Kansas City. I already told you that. I'm a barbecue guy, but you don't really eat food. So are you would you eat any barbecue on this trip or no?
I eat some barbecue, yeah. I eat stuff. I eat stuff that people like to eat, but I eat not as much of it as most normal people eat as I think.
But okay, on this trip, like what is your I have a game plan where I've already mapped out 9 places I want to get to in 2 days.
Oh, I'm not doing that. Yeah.
Well, I'm aware of that. You're a reasonable person. But like what is your game plan? Like are you going to get barbecue or if it happens, it happens? Like how do you
if it happens, it happens. I'll tell you this. The last couple of times we've had road games, you know what I've done? I've gone to Publix and gotten like a rotisserie chicken with some like Greek yogurt and like some popcorn, like high fiber popcorn. And that's been my dinner the past couple times, just so you know, like where my food is at the moment. Like no nice
that
restaurant.
Is tough.
But it's
so like you're so staying at the nicest hotel in the city downtown, generally, yeah, or wherever. Yeah. And, like nice. They obviously have some type of wonderful restaurant that you don't even have to leave the lobby to eat in. Or you could just like, I don't know, hit up a coach or a player and be like, hey man, where are you guys eating? And you could just go have a dinner. And instead you just grab at, or do you use utensils or using your hands with the rotisserie?
I usually use my hands. Like, I feel like we leave too much meat on the bone with the utensils, man. We got to like get that thing finger licking clean.
How much of the rotisserie chicken do you eat?
Oh, I eat the whole thing.
The gigantic rotisserie chicken?
Yeah.
There's no chance.
That's probably like 80 grams of protein, coach. Like that's, we gotta hit our protein.
So you go into like a Publix where they have the heated rotisserie chickens, like on the racks in the bag.
Yeah.
Like oiled bottom, you know, kind of like, and you take it to the hotel.
Sometimes I'll just eat in the parking lot, just sit on a curb there and pop that thing in. You know what
I'm
saying?
That's not true.
I've done that before and people are like, whoa, what's that guy about? But hey, you know.
That is the weirdest thing I've ever heard. So this past week, did you take the rotisserie chicken to the hotel?
They had a Starbucks like in the front of the store. So I just popped in there, ate it.
You with your fingers?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I had a utensil, but like, yeah, fingers, a little napkin. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a little water. Like,
okay. And then when it's done, it's just like the bones and the carcass or whatever.
Yeah. Then you just pop that thing in the trash, boom, and then head back to the hotel.
And did you have a side or?
Well, I had some. What I had, popcorn. Was my side.
Oh yeah, yeah. You did your high fiber popcorn. That is unbelievable.
But you know,
can we get my guy to a steakhouse?
It's inexpensive. It hits all my protein markers. Get the fiber from the popcorn. Like, you're planning out for taste. I'm planning out in a different way. I'm planning out for cost efficiency and function is really what I'm planning out.
My guy played a decade in the NFL. We can get you to. We can get you a ribeye somewhere. I promise we can.
But this is me just being like a, you know, pinky up kind of guy here. It's like sometimes, Grant, like I don't like how there's too much butter and too much salt on that steak. Like, let me just get that thing on the grill, flip that thing over, put it on my plate. You know what I'm saying?
This is tough. Next time you go to Green Bay, so I don't know if you know about this place.
We're good there. We don't need to keep going. So
Take Rotisserie is the name of the new podcast.
Guy, on the road. This former NFL player, Logan Paulson, who's staying in this 5-star hotel with like some amazing restaurant with some amazing chef, will go to a Publix, get a rotisserie chicken off the rack, sit down on a curb in a parking lot in a random city, take the rotisserie chicken out, and put it up to his mouth like it's a chicken wing and gnaw it until it's
like
gone.
Like a 1900s hobo with his knapsack.
I couldn't believe he was dead serious.
Of course he is. He's different. You didn't understand. You don't make it in the league, and Logan will tell you the same thing, with his ability level without being that. They make a million more athletic, quicker, stronger, more agile, explosive tight ends than that guy who played 10 years in the league. That's how he did it. He's a lunatic. I think it's arrest worthy, personally. I need him plucked out of the population.
So my response, which is, I played this for my wife. The second we got done with the pod, I went upstairs. I never play her stuff from our shows. You know, once a month, if you say something really funny or whatever, because she doesn't care. I'll be very.
You know who's over it is my wife.
Oh, yeah.
She's all set.
There's not much interest she has in anything I'm doing on air. I can promise you that. But I went upstairs and I played her this clip and she was dying laughing. I'm like, this is insane, right? This is one of the craziest things you've heard because it gets better and better. He's like, well, I eat rotisserie chicken. That in and of itself is wild.
Yeah, so I get that. If you don't have time for
the whole thing.
I got to get a workout in. I'll have time for a lunch. I got to hit my macros. He's one of these super fitness people. I get it. So I'll go during the day, grab a rotisserie chicken, a couple things, hit my workout. But for dinner, I like to let loose. He didn't get to the second part.
But also, that's your routine on the road. So what he's done this season on the road, his routine
is eating rotisserie chicken in the parking lot.
To get to a grocery store, often walking a long way to get there, to get rotisserie chicken, to then eat the entire thing. Isn't that crazy?
This 6'5", 245-pound dude just sauntering down the highway, sitting in a parking lot, gnawing at a rotisserie chicken.
Wow.
Psychotic.
Beltway Blitz is next on Grant and Danny. We will give away Caps tickets as soon as the segment begins. Again, that was from Take Command. We'll give you preview and post-game pods every single week. This is G&D.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.